Well, piano players get turned down for one basic reason. So we should talk about it. Well, hello, everybody. This is Stephen Reed from Music and Ministry, and we have been in this big, deep dive into how to not get turned down when you're on your worship team, because unfortunately, that is the norm in many churches and ministries across the planet, and we'd like to help you fix that. Well, up till now, we have been talking about many of the ways to fix these things topically, meaning certain steps in the process and some things that we need to figure out. And then we've given you some examples based on specific instruments. And then starting last week and continuing this week, we have kind of reversed that idea and said, well, let's just talk about the instrument and then we'll kind of gather in all of these different ideas and principles. So if I mention something that you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, you might need to go back to some of the other previous episodes and check out those topics. But today we're going to dive into the piano. And the piano is a force to be reckoned with. It is the most versatile of all the instruments because it has the largest range. We can play notes way above what an electric guitar could play, or even many other, you know, solo instruments or flutes and things like that. And we have notes that we can play lower than a bass. And so with all of this ability and power comes great responsibility, as one would might say. And people don't often use that very well. And so what ends up happening, the number one reason why people get turned down while they're playing the piano, is that they're playing too much. And that seems crazy to say, and I get it, because most piano players would not say that they're overplaying. They would be thinking, no, I'm just playing how I'm supposed to play. But we've got some issues with that. And one of the main reasons is because most people are trained how to play the piano as a solo instrument. And it is one of the few instruments on the worship team that can be played as a solo instrument. I mean, you certainly have the acoustic guitar that can be a solo instrument, but it'd be very difficult to lead worship from the bass only, or to only have drums, or to only have an electric guitar, although it's not impossible. It would be different. And let's just be honest, some of those services, if you had only bass guitar worship, would be not very well attended. But for hundreds of years, people have been playing the piano and leading worship with just a piano. And so what we're doing in our modern worship context is we're saying, hey, all of that stuff you learned and how to do all of these things, we don't need all of that. We need you to play with all these other people in our group. And unfortunately, most piano players have not been trained in how to do that. The resources to help them be able to do that are very limited. And so lots of piano players are just doing the best they can, doing what they think seems good, and are yet getting turned off at the soundboard, or at least are getting sliced and diced back at the soundboard to where you can't really hear much of what they're doing. And so we need to fix all of those things. So that's a whole lot to unpack in one video, but I believe we can get quite a bit of it done. But it's going to take a myriad of things working together, and we're going to need some pieces and parts to help those people, give them the resources they need, put them in an environment where they can tell that what they're doing is the right thing, and then we need to help them sometimes even with their sound and other things like that. So up first is going to be, how do we resource our piano player? How are they learning what it is that they're supposed to be playing? And for a long time, piano players were just given, here's the recording, go listen to the recording and figure it out. Well, for a lot of piano players that were raised in a classically trained environment, they were not taught those skills. Because in normal piano playing, you're handed a sheet of music, it's got all the squiggly lines and all the stuff, and you learn how to play that and only that. Well, for hymns, that's how things were, and you know, four parts, and you had to have sometimes special organists that could read that kind of stuff and play all of the knobs and things. But in our modern worship setting, we don't have that. We just give people a chord chart, and that information is significantly less than what most piano players need to know in order to be successful. And so they're going to watch the video and they're going to hear the sounds and they're going to try to do as much of what they can by themselves. And again, because a piano is a solo instrument, they're going to try and play all of it by themselves. That's just the default way that piano players approach music. So you need to know that about yourself. You need to know that about your piano players, because we need to try and break that habit, because that is not what we're looking for when we bring that into a team environment. And so unfortunately, if you go to look up, okay, I need some sheet music for pianos, you're going to find one of two things. The first is going to be some sort of arrangement that is going to be the opposite of what we're doing, which is it's going to be, here's how to play the entire song just on one instrument on the piano. And so it's going to have rhythm information, it's going to have chord information, and a lot of times it'll have you playing the melody with your right hand, which is the same melody that the singers will be singing. And so none of that is really going to be good information for you. And if you bring that into a team environment, guaranteed you're going to be mostly turned off, if not all the way turned off. The other thing that you will sometimes find are going to be playthroughs where you'll watch, maybe even the church or the ministry that you're trying to emulate their music will have, hey, here's what I'm doing on the piano. Sometimes it'll have even the patches or the sounds that they're using. Services like worshipartistry.com have things like that. Again, I don't get paid anything to recommend them, but that information is out there and you can get closer. But the problem is that it's going to teach you how to play it like the recording with sounds that they used on the recording, that if you bring that into your live environment, into this team environment in a live setting, it's going to be too much. And that seems crazy, but again, we've been talking a lot about the conversion that we have to make as musicians from our recorded sound to our live sound, which will be going usually from stereo and certainly like extended stereo into a mono environment, if not slightly not mono environment, depending on how your sound system is set up as your church. But I would encourage most people to be in mono. And so we have to learn how to make that adaptation. As we've been talking about, just like you have to adapt a movie to a play or a play to a book or whichever order that comes in, there's things that we have to do. And so most piano players don't know how to do that. There's not a person in place in most worship teams, which would be called the music director, where that's their skill, is making that adaptation from a recording to a live environment. And so we just leave it up to the players to kind of do whatever, and then the sound person kind of does whatever they want to do, and that's where people end up getting turned down or getting sliced and diced back at the sound booth, because we're all bringing too much sound. And we're trying to fit it into now this smaller space. And then so then people are getting squeezed out. And most every worship sound person is trying desperately to find clarity. And so they're doing all of these crazy tricks to try and get it to make sense when, again, we're just all have too much going on in the first place. And none are more guilty than that, than the piano player. So we need to take what resources are available to us, and we need to then simplify them for our live setting. So that's going to involve then deciding who's going to play what notes. And we've talked a little bit about that in a previous video, but as I've often said, the left pinky is the bass player's worst enemy on most worship teams, because they're going to play that same note that the bass player is playing. And so we need to then choose who is going to play that note. And if it's the bass player, then the piano player needs to not play that note. And what happens on most worship teams, as I discussed in the previous video, is that the sound person is just going to slice part of their sound off and say, nope, I'm not going to give you any low end. They're just going to apply what's called a high pass filter or a low cut filter, and basically make it to where even if they played that sound, it's not going to come through the sound system anymore. And so again, not the best. There's other ways that you can do that in a more advanced kind of way. But it causes a lot of problems where we could just say, hey, don't play that low note with your pinky and be much further along. Again, then we also have the next octave up is going to be where the bottom end of the acoustic guitar and the electric guitar is going to live. And so we've got to decide who is going to play those notes and who is going to play somewhere else. And so that's, again, the role of the music director to then start deciding who's going to be where. Otherwise, the sound person is just going to have to start picking and choosing a lot of times based on volume, because everybody's playing the same note. Often three or four people are playing the exact same note. And so then the only thing that can be left to do is to have the volume more, and then somebody wins and somebody loses at the soundboard. And again, if we're in an environment with our in-ears that we can't even tell that we're being turned down, then it never gets any better. And so we're into our bad systems, which we spent a lot of time talking about. So again, we have the bass notes, we have the bottom end of the guitars, and we're going to have the higher end of the guitars, and also where the vocals live. And we need to make sure that we're not covering the vocals, because if we're playing the notes that the vocalists are singing, that means it's difficult to hear the vocalists. And so oftentimes people are going to turn the piano down, and often the whole piano gets turned down because you're playing notes that we're trying to hear from a vocalist. Or what will often happen is that the sound person will make the vocalist try to be clearer. And so it just gets so sharp that it then becomes painful. And we get a lot of energy in that specific range, that if we, again, just didn't play those notes on either the guitar and the piano, we would then be able to hear those notes so much clearer because there would be no competition. And so above that is kind of this whole other, almost like third of the piano that most piano players never go and explore because they're so busy trying to cover these other things that are actually being covered already. So it ends up being we have too much sound in one area and then we have no sound in this other area. And so we can get up in these higher ranges. Sometimes that's an electric guitar up an octave, but there's so much that can be done up there. Not playing chords, not playing these other things, but doing what I would call icing, where you're just playing these little notes in between when the vocalists are singing, or just some other like nice little things that will add something in a space that nobody else occupies. And then you don't even have to play very loud because you'll be crystal clear in your own free space up there. All right, so that covers the range of sounds. We also need to adjust our sounds that we're using in a lot of modern worship. Piano is going to have some sort of attachment of a pad sound or some synthesizer sound. And if you buy the patches and use whatever program it is that you're using for your keyboards, you're going to have this huge, lush sound that just sounds unbelievable when you're playing by yourself and you're practicing, or even if you're in your in-ears while you're on stage. But it's going to be way too much, again, for our mono environment. And so in a stereo environment, we're doing all kinds of things to make things seem fuller. And sound is really about how do I thicken this? How do I make this sound bigger? Because we're trying to fill this much bigger space. But in our live setting, we're trying to squeeze everybody in. We need to do what I call playing thinner. And so certainly less notes, meaning that most piano players should only be playing one-handed when other people are being in. And there should be some point in the song where you're not playing at all. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's how good music is made. Some people play, so other people then play when those people don't play, and there's this interaction, this dance, so to speak, of great musicianship. But then that certainly then applies to the sounds that we're using. And part of that will happen is you, well, maybe only playing one note, but a lot of those sounds will add octaves worth of sound and then will be heavily affected by reverb. But you can, with one note, will often be playing two or three octaves and not even realize it. So we have to modify those sounds, again, for our live environment, playing thin with our notes, but also playing thin with our sounds. So the other thing that we often duplicate on the piano is that we provide way too much rhythm information. And I cannot tell you how many piano players I see that are just basically doing the drums on the piano, and you can kind of watch it. If you just step back and watch everybody's hands moving at the same time, you know that we've got way too much rhythm. And so again, if you're playing by yourself and you're the only one, then yeah, you need to provide that rhythm. It sounds good when you play it by yourself, but when you have a drummer, their thing is rhythm. That's what they can do. So we need to let them do the rhythm, and then we would not play rhythm, and we'd either just play chords or play chords and melody, or if we have somebody else is playing chords, maybe we're only playing melody. And so we start dividing off all of these different parts to the different members of our team. And again, good orchestration, it'll all come back to maybe the piano, maybe it'll all go to the guitar, and then we just have this dance of these things shifting back and forth that make good music. So way less rhythm. You have to learn how to play with possibly no rhythm. And that can be really tough because they either don't have the skill set to do that because they've never been taught or trained. And then the other one, which was the number six reason why people don't often get any of these things, if you can remember back from our list of six things, was people often become unwilling because they'll kind of be bored. Again, if you're used to using as many fingers as you can and doing all of this stuff and using this full sound that sounds amazing, to then only maybe playing one note or holding this note for extended period of time, or here comes your little thing, oh, you get this little deal, and then you're out for another 2 minutes. Not everybody wants to be a part of that. And so part of that, when you're looking at, okay, how do we fix these things? Sometimes you have to get the right people on your team, and sometimes it's not the most talented, quote unquote, meaning that they can't do it all by themselves, but they can do one piece of it, and they're willing to work well with others. And the unfortunate reality is that most piano players are not very good at working with other people. And again, how would they have been trained how to do that? That's not in our education system for music. We then have to re-educate ourselves. And again, as the music director, if you have that person, that would be a big part of that person's job, is helping them know what to play so that way they can have success. And then as a sound team, you would be putting them in an environment where the right part sounds right and the wrong part sounds wrong. So that way, when they're playing the wrong thing, it should be uncomfortable for them. And they would say, hey man, I just can't hear myself. And it's like, yeah, because you're playing the same note as the bass player and the same note as this guitar player, the same note as that guitar player, playing the same note as the vocalist, and you're trying to do the rhythm as the drummer, and you're not quite exactly on with the drummer, and so now it sounds weird. If that happens all the time. All right, I just unloaded on piano players, and I love piano, and my wife is our main piano player, but we all play piano in our family. I play piano. Again, can I play by myself this amazing cantata or any other kind of piece of music? Not so much, but I'm a pretty good worship piano player because I know how to just play my little thing and when to do that. All right. Again, that information isn't necessarily readily available. So we need people to provide that. We need people to be that MD person to go in and help those people. And then we as piano players need to understand that that's what's happening. So put yourself in an environment where the right part sounds right and the wrong part sounds wrong. Establish that connection with your sound person. Talk to them and say, hey, is there anything that I'm doing that's causing you to want to turn me down or is cutting off portions of my sound? Because all it takes is some communication and you can get those things fixed and then you'll move forward. And then you don't have to rely upon technology as much because you just are a better piano player. All right. That was a lot to take in. As I say every single week, that was a lot to take in. But I believe if you can work on these things, the Lord will show you things and it will revolutionize your worship team and your ministry to those that you are called to. All right, join us again next week. We're going to dive into some more things. And until then, God bless.